pride, anger, lust, laziness, gluttony, envy, and greed. During the 6th century, Pope Gregory was the first to draw attention to these 7 deadly sins. The reason for highlighting the vicious vices was to make a plan for overcoming them. During the European Middle Ages, the deadly sins were a popular theme in plays, art, and literature, and they were always balanced with a list of heavenly virtues like humility, patience, purity, diligence, self-control, gratitude, and generosity. Do the vices appear too often in your life and the virtues not often enough? Is your spiritual win-loss record embarrassing? Now is the time for the kind of honest self-examination that helps us make forward progress in sanctification. I'm Ron Jones, and this is Something Good.
In all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. That's Romans 8:37, and this is Something Good with Dr. Ron Jones. I'm Brian Davis. Thanks for dropping in. Well, back in the 6th century, Pope Gregory I came up with a list of 7 deadly sins: pride, anger, lust, laziness, gluttony, envy, and greed. Ron will take you through each of them over the next couple of weeks as he shares his teaching series, Undefeated, Overcoming the Deadly Sins That Drag You Down. Stop by somethinggoodradio.org anytime to listen to the broadcast on your schedule. That's somethinggoodradio.org. Subscribe to the podcast at Spotify or wherever you get your podcast. From Atlantic Shores Baptist Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia, where he serves as a lead pastor, here's Ron with today's Something Good Radio message: More Than Conquerors.
Well, sports teams that go undefeated are the stuff of legends, wouldn't you agree? There's sports fans out there. The 1972 Miami Dolphins are the only team in NFL history to win the Super Bowl and to go undefeated in a single season. They were 17-0. And that was probably the reason, back when I was a young boy growing up in Indiana, I was a Miami Dolphins fan. Long before I became a Cowboys fan, not a Redskins fan, no, a Dallas Cowboys fan, long before that, I was a Miami Dolphins fan growing up in Indiana. And it probably had something to do with just, you know, the sunny Florida, the Dolphins, the Flamingos, those kind of aqua and orange and white uniforms. That had something to do with it. But also, just the gridiron greats that set NFL history in 1972. I still remember the names of these players, starting with Coach Don Shula, legendary coach in the NFL. Quarterback Bob Greasy. Oh, he was incredible. A Purdue Boilermaker grad. Go Boilermakers, right? Right, Rosie? Okay. Larry Zonka. Remember Zonka? I mean, what a great football name, Zonka. Larry Zonka had a nose like he had carried the ball up the middle far too many times. All right, just kind of smashed on his face there. Mercury Morris, he was the halfback. Lightning speed, and his name kind of said that. Paul Warfield was the wide receiver. Nick Bonacani, he was the linebacker. You know, what a great football name again. And then one of my favorites was the 5'7" kicker. He was a lefty named Garo Yeprimian. I mean, the guy could kick the lights out of the ball, all right? This was the 1972 Miami Dolphins, the only undefeated team who won the Super Bowl in NFL history. Now, some of you are New England Patriot fans, and I'll pray for you this morning, but some of you are saying, no, the 2007 New England Patriots went 18-0. Yes, they did, before they lost in the Super Bowl to the New York Giants. Sorry, Pats fans. They finished the season 18-1, leaving the Dolphins, the 72 Dolphins, the only team to go undefeated and win the Super Bowl. Well, today I'm beginning a brand new series of messages titled Undefeated. And no, I don't want to spend the next 6 or 8 weeks talking about sports legends and sports fans and gridiron greats. I want to talk about how to live an undefeated life. How do you live the kind of life that triumphs over troubles, that soars above every struggle, and that overcomes the deadly sins that drag us down. Back in the 6th century, Pope Gregory I was the first one to come up with this list of the 7 deadly sins. Pride, anger, lust, laziness, gluttony, envy, and greed. What a list it is. And we're going to talk over the next several weeks about how to conquer these things so they don't drag us down anymore. How to live an undefeated life, a life that triumphs over troubles, soars above every struggle, and overcomes the deadly sins that drag us down. And along the way, here's what I promise I'm going to do. I'm going to point us to Jesus. Jesus, who we'll just call in this series the undefeated one. He makes us more than conquerors. And he helps us. He helps us live an undefeated life. Now, I think a good place for us to start is all the way back in the beginning in the book of Genesis to kind of get an understanding of why we might need a series like this. Genesis chapters 1, 2, and 3 tell us the creation story, and the Bible tells us that you and I were created in the image of God. I think part of what that means is we were created to glorify Him, and we were created to live a victorious life. I don't think it was ever God's intention for us to experience death, let alone defeat. But Adam, our spiritual and physical forefather, you know the story. Adam was created in the image of God. He wasn't created in perfection. Theologically, we say he was created in innocence. And he was given a free will. He was given a choice. He could either obey God and go God's way, or he could disobey God and go his own way. And in Genesis chapter 3, it tells us Adam went his own way. He sinned against God. And the consequences that God warned about, which was death, fell upon Adam. He died spiritually. That means his sin separated him from God. And later he died physically. And the Bible tells us in the book of Romans that death entered into the world through one man, that was Adam. And death spread to all men because all have sinned. You see, we inherited a sin nature from Adam. Adam was born in innocence and created in innocence and was placed in a paradise, a perfect place, the Garden of Eden. But when he sinned, he was kicked out. He left, and now here we are in paradise lost. This is not paradise, in case you were wondering. Even the most beautiful place on earth is not paradise. We live in a fallen world, a sin-stained world, which makes it all the more difficult, friends, to live an undefeated life. Jesus Christ went to the cross, died on that cross, and rose from the dead a victor, and our victory is in him. But the challenge for us is, how do we live an undefeated life? How do we live a life that overcomes and conquers the deadly sins that threaten to drag us down every day? Let's go back to the 6th century for just a moment. Again, Pope Gregory I initially rolled out the 7 deadly sins. They've been kind of tweaked and morphed over the centuries. In fact, by the 13th century, Thomas Aquinas worked on them a little bit. Today we have a list that sounds, again, something like this: pride, anger, lust, laziness, gluttony, envy, greed. Okay? It's a deadly list, isn't it? At some level, it's also a desirable list. Mark Twain said there is a charm about the forbidden that makes it unspeakably desirable. Isn't that true? That's why sin is so tempting. It's tempting to, you know, go down the road of pride or anger, lust or laziness, and so on. And we have to figure out, as followers of Jesus Christ, how do we overcome these deadly sins that threaten to drag us down into defeat? My concern is that too many of us as followers of Jesus Christ are not living a victorious Christian life. Because one or more in this list, and you can make up your own list perhaps, this is just a fun list to work with from the 6th century and then some, but we're not living that undefeated life, that victorious Christian life, and the question is why? why, and how do we do that in partnership with the Holy Spirit and in the victory that Jesus has given to us. Back in the Middle Ages, the seven deadly sins were popular. They were popular themes in music, in art, in literature, in the theater, in plays, always with the idea that these were the kinds of vices that we needed to overcome. Because as Pope Gregory said back in the 6th century, they lead into other areas of greater immorality. For instance, anger could lead to murder. Lust could lead to adultery. And so these were the seven that kind of emerged over the years. This is not a list of sins that you will find explicitly or in one place anywhere in the Bible, but we could find stories behind every one of these, and we will. We'll explore them over the next several weeks with the idea that we want to come out as more than conquerors, singing, "Oh, victory in Jesus. We are the champions," and all of that kind of thing. Maybe this is why Peter wrote in his second letter, 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. Listen to this. He says, "Make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue." You see, back in the Middle Ages, when they were talking about the seven deadly sins in art and, you know, drama and literature, they always did so by laying alongside of the seven deadly sins, seven heavenly virtues. Corresponding virtues, because that was the idea, what was to supplement our faith with virtue, Peter says. When was the last time you heard the word virtue in our culture today? What you see on display more often than not is not virtue, but vices, and that ought not to be on display or even hidden in our lives as Christians. The heavenly virtues correspondingly were humility, patience, purity, diligence, self-control, gratitude, and generosity. And Peter says to us, make every effort. It's going to take some holy sweat here, friends. Make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue.
New to the program? If so, we'd like you to know that we archive all of Ron's messages at somethinggoodradio.org. That's somethinggoodradio.org. And when you stop by, don't go away. We'll be right back with more of Dr. Ron Jones' message, More Than Conquerors. Special group of people who partner with Ron to share the gospel of Jesus Christ through the media ministry of Something Good. Join the 828 Club from our website or call us at 757-276-1099. Again, 757-276-1099. Are you living the victorious Christian life? Are you more like Jesus today than you were a year ago? If you want to live that kind of life, but don't know how, stay right here for the second half of today's Something Good radio message, More Than Conquerors. Once again, here's Dr. Ron Jones.
If you look back over the last 6 weeks or 6 months or maybe 6 years of your life, can you say, I am growing in godly virtue? Or are the vices defeating me every day? We want to overcome the deadly sins that drag us down and make sure that the heavenly virtues are a more part of our life than these vicious vices that threaten every one of us. I've titled this morning's message, More Than Conquerors, and it comes from Romans chapter 8. But I want to use that as a theme for the rest of our time together and talk about a couple of ways that the Bible describes us as followers of Jesus Christ as more than conquerors. First, we are more than conquerors over the troubles of life, the trials, the tribulations, and the difficulties. Romans chapter 8, verse 35, Paul says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword?" If he were writing today, he might add to that, "or coronavirus or pestilence." Who or what can separate us from the love of Christ? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. And then he says in verse 37, no, in all these things, in all these trials and troubles and tribulations of life that come upon us, we, that is believers in Jesus Christ, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. I love that phrase. Write it down, circle it in your Bible, more than conquerors. I love the way the Apostle Paul skillfully weaves together the love of Jesus Christ, the trials and tribulations and troubles of life, and the victory that is ours in Jesus Christ. We are more than conquerors, he says. Now, again, I want to take that phrase, those three words, more than conquerors, and drill down a little bit, starting with the word conquerors. It comes from a Greek word that literally means to win a victory over, a victor or a conqueror. And here's the part that you're going to love. It's the Greek word Nikon. Okay, you ever heard of Nikon cameras? Or better yet, Nike sportswear. This is the word right here. It means victory. It means conquerors. We are more than conquerors. And we're going to trace this word all throughout the New Testament, you know, in our time remaining this morning. The often translated overcomers or conquerors in your Bible. And it's all throughout the New Testament, even comes from the words of Jesus himself. But now let's drill down on the words leading up to that. More than conquerors. Paul doesn't say we're just conquerors. That might be enough. He says we're more than conquerors. It's an idiom that literally means to a very great degree or extremely. He's wanting us to understand we are extreme conquerors. We are over and above what a conqueror. We have conquered beyond our wildest dreams. You ever heard of the extreme sports? Turn on the ESPN channel and there's this thing called the extreme sports and even the extreme Olympics and all that. Well, we are extreme conquerors in Jesus Christ. It would be like saying from a sports standpoint, our opponent never had a chance to defeat us. It wasn't even a contest. The score was 56-0. We were like a professional football team playing a second string high school squad. Wasn't even a contest. We were overly conquering. We blew them out of the saddle, all right? We went 17-0 for the season. We set all kinds of records. We are more than conquerors, the Bible says, of believers in Jesus Christ. Problem is, why don't we live that way? Why are we still living such a defeated life as Christians? Why are the seven deadly sins, pride, anger, lust, laziness, gluttony, envy, greed, one or more of them still getting the best of us? Come on, that's not who we are. We are more than conquerors. We are victors, not victims. And our victory comes through Jesus Christ. And we're going to hear throughout the rest of the message this morning, again and again and again and again, how the New Testament underscores the idea. We are the champions. We're the victors. Can you imagine anybody from the 1972 Miami Dolphin team walking around after their NFL retirement with slumped shoulders saying, well, we were just a bunch of losers. We never won a game. Of course not. Their head was held high. They were inducted to the Hall of Fame. They were champions. And they thought of themselves as champions and as victors and as conquerors. Back to that Greek word, Nikon. Catherine and I were in Italy not too long ago. And we got to Rome. Rome was fabulous. We went to the Roman Colosseum. It was incredible. If you're into ancient ruins, you know, it's just a great place to go. And flowing from the Roman Colosseum, what's left of it, you flow into what's called the Roman Forum. And it's just a beautiful area of ancient ruins. Not far from the Colosseum is Constantine's Arch, okay? Still like it was, I'm sure, you know, centuries ago. Back in Roman times, when the Roman army would go out and conquer their enemy, they would bring back their prisoners, and they would kind of, you know, shove it in their face by making them march in a victory parade. And this is how the, you know, the Roman army would put on display, you know, the victory and the conquering that they had done, and their prisoners would be walking in the parade, and they would have to go right through, you know, the victory arch, the conquering arch, Constantine's arch. A little bit further into the forum, there's one called the Arch of Titus. And let's go back to that earlier picture. Here's the Arch of Titus. This is not Constantine, this is the Arch of Titus. And the guide that was taking us through the forum there brought us underneath the arch there, and then there was a relief that we can go to on the next slide here. This is a picture of a victory chariot drawn by four horses, and our guide said, if you look up over there, there's the goddess of Nike, the victory goddess. It's Nike. Long before the goddess of Nike was ever the symbol of Roman or Greek victory. Now, Jesus said these words in John chapter 16 and verse 33. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart. I have overcome it.
You're listening to Something Good Radio with Dr. Ron Jones. Today's message, More Than Conquerors, along with all of Ron's messages, can be heard on demand at somethinggoodradio.org. Use the radio tab at the top of the homepage. That's somethinggoodradio.org. While you're there, take a look at a discipleship coaching experience developed by Dr. Ron Jones called Starting Point, A Disciple's First Steps. Look for the courses tab at the top of the homepage.
Hello, friend. I'm Ron Jones of Something Good Radio. If you've been with us for a while, if you're a regular listener and God is using this broadcast in your life, I want to speak directly to you. When you first tuned in or streamed Something Good, did you know that other people paid to air that program? We call them our ministry partners. They have people just like you in mind when they donate monthly to Something Good, which is a 100% listener-supported ministry. Now that you're a regular listener, will you do the same? Will you help us share Something Good with someone else? We created the 828 Club for people who choose to partner with this ministry through prayer and monthly financial support. It's based on Romans 8:28, which in the message says, every detail in our lives of love for God is worked into something good. I'm asking you to prayerfully consider joining the 828 Club today by giving $28 or more per month to share something good with someone else. And when you do, we'll send you some resources to help you grow in your relationship with God. It's our way of saying thanks for your partnership in this gospel ministry. So please join the 828 Club today. Here's Brian with all the details.
When you partner with us here at Something Good, we'll send you a free copy of Ron Jones' full-length book, Mysteries of the Afterlife, Exploring Its Amazing Secrets. To join the 828 Club today, look for the Partners tab at the top of the homepage at somethinggoodradio.org. That's somethinggoodradio.org. Or call 757-276-1099. If you can't become a partner but would like to make a donation today, Ron would love to send you his book, The Ultimate Road Trip Through the Bible. Volumes 1 and 2 can be yours by request when you invest $50 or more into the media ministry of Something Good. You'll also get unlimited access to the Route 66 Digital Library. A $275 value. The online library includes electronic versions of each volume, as well as video sermons, audio messages, and downloadable sermon notes on all 66 books of the Bible. For more information, visit somethinggoodradio.org.
The greatest enemy to us in any given day is the world, the flesh, and the devil. And we're right there in the battle every day. But we are overcomers because of the victory that Jesus won for us. The challenge is shortening the distance between who we are in Christ, more than conquerors, and our everyday present reality, and bringing closeness to those, shortening the gap there.
That's tomorrow when Ron shares part two of his message, More Than Conquerors. Join us then for Something Good. For Ron and the entire team here at Something Good Radio, I'm Brian Davis saying God bless and thanks for listening.